listener production.
Hey, Bension Siebert here with you for The Briefing. Tasmania's Mona has been forced to allow men into its women's-only ladies' lounge. A New South Wales man, Jason Lau, was refused entry to the ladies' lounge last year despite paying full price to enter the gallery. He took the museum to the Tasmanian Civil and Administrative Tribunal and won. Mona has 28 days to stop refusing entry to men and people who don't identify as ladies. The lounge was created by Kersha Cashel, wife of Mona founder David Walsh. It was established as a response to women being denied entry to premises throughout history simply because they're women. And it's draped in green velvet curtains. The women who come into the ladies' lounge are served champagne by butlers on arrival. So could the tribunal's decision pave the way for women to be allowed into men's clubs that have been off-limits to women for decades? The Briefing's Helen Smith spoke today with Jahan Kalantar, a Sydney-based solicitor, university lecturer and entrepreneur who calls himself the little guy lawyer.
All right, Jahan, thank you so much for joining us on The Briefing. This is a landmark decision. Do you think that Kersha Cashel may have been planning this the whole time as a means to pressure men's clubs into opening their doors to women?
Look, I think that the fascinating thing about this particular artwork is that it really does challenge the norm in a really fundamental way. I don't think there was ever an intention for it to be taken down this road, although I could very well be wrong. But it certainly has opened a dialogue about the idea of gendered-only spaces and what that means in a modern society. And I think that the artist is doing a phenomenal job of riding the wave correctly and taking it to the extent that it's allowed to be taken.
So the Tasmanian Civil Tribunal Deputy President Richard Gruber actually criticised the women who showed up to the hearing, calling their appearance a performance art. Isn't he playing right into their hands though?
So I think it's really important to take a moment to distinguish between courts and tribunals and the different purposes they serve. So courts are designed to deal with something called justiciability and whether something's legal or not. Tribunals are more around merits. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? And I think that it's absolutely part of the act that they showed up. I mean, how could you call it anything but performance art? You've got, I don't remember how many, but a number of women dressed in exactly the same clothes, acting in absolutely synchronous conduct, clutching their pearls at the exact same time. It is performance art. And I think that, sure, it does in some way, shape or form denigrate the dignity of legal proceedings or quasi-legal proceedings. But I think they're artists, and that's kind of what artists do. They challenge the status quo.
And it did get a lot of online attention, TikTok. You made one yesterday. What was the reaction that kind of had on TikTok?
Look, it's been viewed hundreds of thousands of times and liked a lot of times because my opinion is that this was an opportunity to have a discussion about a really, something that's pervasive in society that we don't really talk about. And I think that for many people, they're like, well, okay, if you're going to say that this women's only space is fair game, what about the reverse? What about men's only spaces that have an inherent element of gender discrimination in them? What about those?
So I want to jump to that because could this Mona ruling now open the door for women to access these men's only spaces like the Australia Club, for example?
So the interesting thing about gendered only spaces is that they exist and they're discriminatory in some capacity, but not necessarily illegally so. Good example is a women's only gym, right? That's a space that is fundamentally discriminatory, but there's a purpose for which it is discriminatory. This ruling is really only limited to this particular art installation and what it means. However, if it enlivens a point of law to a larger principle, then it can be taken to a Supreme Court and a court can rule that this point of law that has been enlivened can be considered through a different lens. So could it possibly lead there? Yes, hypothetically it could. Whether it will, I don't know. But one of the things that the artist did say via her lawyers, I believe, at the time of the ruling is, okay, if we don't get what we want, we'll take it to the Supreme Court, which is her right.
So going on the back of that, did Mona go about their defense in the wrong way? Like, could they have had a stronger argument?
I think that you need to really think about litigation as not simply being about that dispute, but a larger purpose. Like the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp case. That was a PR strategy that looked like a lawsuit. This is a PR strategy that looks like a lawsuit. Whether their attempt to defend it was ever to successfully say that this was at law impermissible, I don't know. But I think their goal was to get attention, and they got attention.
Yeah, sure did. So on the attention that it did get, do you think then Kersha Cashel, do you think she was trying to lose the case or win it?
I don't think she deliberately set out to win, lose, or draw. I think, and I've looked at a bit of her content, there is an underlying theme of, you know, what's good for the geese is good for the gander. How come this behavior is acceptable with one gender and isn't acceptable in another? I don't know what the underlying stratagem or thought was, but I take it always back to, you know, what's the purpose of art? The purpose of art is to make us think and feel in a different way. And this did that in a pretty profound way. And so if the purpose of the art is to get us to think about it and keep it in the public eye, winning would have been less interesting than losing. That's all I can say. I don't know if it was deliberate or not.
Okay, so this happened in the Tasmanian court. What could be the national implications of this?
Okay, so it happened in a Tasmanian tribunal. And then from the Tasmanian tribunal, it could potentially be taken to a Supreme Court to argue a point of law. If there was an error in the decision of the member or the president who makes the decision, there may not be. I mean, as someone who doesn't practice in Tasmanian appellate law, I can't tell you. But if they were successfully able to argue something to that standard, it might have an implication for Tasmania. And that might be a broader implication that could potentially happen federally. But it will all depend on a lot of things. It will depend upon there being an appellable error that enlivens the jurisdiction of the court, them taking it to court, winning, the principle being accepted in Tasmania, and then being more broadly across the brush. What I can say it has absolutely done is that, and I see this plastered on my comments and in the conversations I'm having, is there is a real discussion about men's only spaces and why, you know, this behavior is acceptable from a man who feels that he didn't receive fair treatment. Why is it that many women raise the same complaint and they feel like they're not being heard? That's, I think, the subtext that is really important to keep coming back to.
Yeah, 100%. So Kersha Cashel, do you know much about her and Mona, I guess?
Look, I visited Mona some years ago and I still remember it. And that's a testament to Mona's capacity to really shock and entertain, because I don't remember every museum I've been to, but I certainly remember that one. And I think when I went there, I recall that next to this exhibit, there was a wall of female genitalia in molds. As for the artist herself, I wasn't particularly familiar with her work, but I sure am now. I understand that she's the partner of Mr. Walsh, who owns Mona and is, you know, fascinating fellow in his own right. I really think that they're doing something pretty interesting in, they're using art, the other side's using the law. It'll be very interesting to see which side wins.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on The Briefing, Jahan.
That was Helen Smith, one of our producers here at The Briefing, talking to Sydney-based lawyer, university lecturer and entrepreneur Jahan Kalantar. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Be sure to join us from 6 a.m. tomorrow for the headlines with Sasha and Katrina and a really interesting deep dive into Queensland's coercive control laws. I'm Bension Siebert. Thanks for listening.